4. Today, under mainly clear skies, with a chance for isolated storms. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Clear skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 69. Daytime highs approaching 94. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. Have you ever encountered Christ? Well, I guess you could say many have in history, and I'm one of those who've been blessed with some encounters. And I'm going to go on today, continue with a series on a book I wrote that was recently published. It's called The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship. And let me read from the back cover so you get an idea what's going on, and then I'm going to dive into a few examples from the book of encounters with Christ. Christianity has a glorious vision of a future union with God. Hal Green is now standing in this union. The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship tells the love story of how Hal entered into a heart union with the cosmic Christ. When the long-awaited relationship arrives, religion will have attained its end. This relationship with God is about to finally arrive. The book explores what God has been doing and preparing for all along, from our creation to our consummation. It describes what it is like to be in a union with God, and it also suggests what you can do to unite with the God who seeks to unite with you. Kind of a heavy subject, huh? Well, I'm going to begin with a section of the book. By the way, the book is available on Amazon. This is a little chapter called The Wound of Love. The Wound of Love. And you know, we have these encounters when we least expect them. You turn a corner. You have a dream, whatever it is, folks, and something happens that is irreversible in its effect. You cannot forget it. You cannot ultimately doubt it. Call it a God thing. So I'll read and comment. Shortly before I entered seminary in 1972, by the way, I was teaching psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College for nearly 4 years, before I left from Mount Pleasant, Iowa, to go to Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary on Northwestern University's campus in Evanston. That was 1972. Okay, before I entered seminary, I had an unforgettable dream about Jesus and love. It was the first time I experienced pure love for Jesus, deeper than I ever imagined. Let's just say it was not what you call a normal dream. At least not for me. Not to me. Call it an event. It answered a question I did not know I had regarding how I really felt about him. In the dream, I found myself in Palestine during Jesus' earthly ministry. I was very much desirous of seeing him. It was not clear whether or not I already knew him. I'm not sure, still now, but only that I wanted to meet with him face to face. I went to the band, quote unquote, that's what they were in the dream, who accompanied Jesus. It could have been either a band of angels or Jesus' disciples. It seemed as if I already knew them and somehow may have once been among them. So I asked them as a group, "Where is Jesus? I want to see him." One of them, whose face and identity I did not make out, said, "Jesus is eating supper and he always eats alone." I asked where and received directions. Then I was off to a small clay-like hut. Once there, I stood perhaps 20 feet from the door. It was a plain tan door with a dark brown, average-sized doorknob. And behind it was the Lord. Can you imagine that, folks? Okay. As I began to walk toward the door, staring intently at that doorknob, which, when I reached it and turned it, would open me to a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. A love for Jesus burst forth in my heart, growing greater with each step I took. This love came upon me suddenly, unexpectedly, and it was greater than any love I had ever experienced or thought I was even capable of. With every step, this love intensified and became heavier and harder to bear. Finally, perhaps 5 feet from the door, still focused on that doorknob, I could no longer move. I leaned my full being against a wall, which was thankfully available on my left, without which I don't think I could have remained standing. I would have fallen to the ground. By this time, the love was overwhelming in its height, depth, and breadth. Let me emphasize that this was an unconditional love for Jesus, the person, in his humanity as well as divinity. It was as if my heart were reaching out to him with spiritual arms, seeking to enfold and caress him for being who he is, not for this or that attribute, action, or possible benefit from knowing him. It was pure love, with no additives or limits. At this point, frozen and fixated on the doorknob with a love for Jesus I did not know existed, I woke up. For a time, this love continued flowing through me, while its weight kept me motionless on the bed. I would never again doubt my love for Jesus. So great was this love that it could not have been of me alone. Rather, it must also have been of God, who is love, and from whom all love arises, expands, and returns. If this was so, it might mean that God, for a priceless few seconds, permitted me to share in God's own love for Jesus, a humbling honor beyond expectations. Decades later, I discovered that St. Teresa of Avila had herself experienced in the 16th century something that she called the wound of love. Her description fit my experience and granted me the peace that others had experienced when I naively walked into. Teresa said there were three essential characteristics of this wound of love, all of which were in direct accord with my heart in the infilling of this remarkable love. Excuse me. First, excuse me. The love came upon me suddenly, without warning. Rather like a tidal wave, a tsunami. Secondly, it was both painful and pleasurable. That it was. Love reached an extent where it seemed as if it both wounded me in its utter intensity, and yet remarkably at the same time this love brought with it a healing salve of this spirit, ecstatic in its poignant sweetness, so much so that I did not want the infilling to cease. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but that's one of the paradoxes that tells you you're pretty near God. Finally, the wounding granted me with absolute certainty that it was indeed love. make that love with a capital L, because it was beyond normal human love. It must be agape love. That's the Greek word in the New Testament that refers to the love of God, the love of and for God, the love from God, which the Apostle Paul describes magnificently in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There, Paul calls it what it truly is, God's greatest gift. For it is surely the perfect love which the Apostle John says in his first letter casts out fear. How it is that I could have shared in this love which henceforth would define me as a perpetual lover of Jesus Christ, come what may, I do not know. The love simply showed up and changed henceforth my understanding of how I felt toward Jesus and of how overwhelming love can be. This event had similarity to the process of falling in love, only it was dramatically sped up like a time-lapse camera, recording in seconds what actually took months to develop. Having been blessed with a wonderful marriage and having performed myself more than 300 weddings, and having spent more than 900 hours doing pre-marriage counseling, I can attest to the power of falling in love. When it is real, there is a time that you finally recognize it, oftentimes as a sudden realization. And it is painful as well as pleasurable. As the poet Gibran wrote in his great book, The Prophet, this love may wound you, yet hopefully you, quote, bleed willingly and joyfully. Lastly, when you are truly in love, you do not doubt it. You know and know that you know that this person is, quote, the one, end quote. If there are doubts, the likelihood is that you are not yet in love. Though it was a dream, I nevertheless discovered decisively my love for Jesus, with God's own love intensifying mine, as rain from above intensifies a river's flow until it floods its banks, nourishing the surrounding land. I did not understand all of this right after the dream, of course, but I would eventually realize its heart-transforming significance. I don't know whether any of you have ever had what I guess you'd call a religious dream, but I've talked with a number of people over the years who have shared with me a dream that they had had, which in fact spoke to them of the who, the how, the why, the where, the what of God. Well, I think before I go on to the next segment on the Christ-haunting dream, I think we need to get a short weather break.
Wedding season is upon us at the Flower Gallery. Do you know someone who is planning their special day? Send them our way for a complimentary consultation with one of our talented designers to make your floral visions come to life. And while you're here, check out our wide selection of tuxedo rentals for the men in your wedding party.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. High temperatures reach up to 94 today under mainly clear skies with a chance for isolated storms. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 69. Daytime highs approaching 94. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Okay, we're back. Well, now I get to tell you about another dream, only this time it was actually a series of dreams. Can you imagine having the same dream six times? Well, I did over the course of 2 years, the first 2 years of my seminary. That is 1972 through 1974, while I was attending Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary or Northwestern University's campus in Evanston, Illinois. It's a beautiful campus, by the way. Only the end of the sixth dream, the final dream, had a change in how it finished. I didn't understand the dream then, but you know, I think I do now. Due to its significance in my life, I'm going to report it to you in the present tense. By the way, let me say now, and I will probably say it again, it's been my experience over a course of 50 years that generally speaking, God is a whole lot better at showing than telling. That is, as I will tell you in this dream shortly, there was no explanation for it. It was real. It was absolutely real. I could not doubt it was of God. I could not doubt that I was, in fact, encountering Jesus Christ. I can't doubt that. But there was no explanation. What does it mean? What am I supposed to do about it? Maybe God wants us to be creative. Go, show me what you're going to make of it. Or maybe if God told us too early, we might misunderstand and therefore go in the wrong direction and have to be corrected later. I don't know, but here's the dream. I'm standing in the dark reading the New Testament. How I'm able to read in the dark seems beside the point. You know, it's a dream. Yet it could refer to the darkness or ignorance of the world as regards spiritual matters. Because we do, my friends, have what's been called an eclipse of God going on in our world. There's an absence of the knowledge of God in the land, and therefore the land suffers, as at Hosea, the prophet of the Lord, told us back in the 7th century BCE. As I read the leather Bible I'm holding, and I love leather Bibles, my friends, because it used to be living. All right, I'm holding, slowly comes to life. I begin to realize that I'm no longer holding a mere inanimate book. Rather, it is living. I cannot move and can hardly breathe. I become vividly aware that something extraordinary is happening, that things are not as they are advertised or proclaimed as being in worship services. Don't forget, I was a pastor at this time with a 2-point charge, 2 churches. Rather, something was profoundly wrong. As if holding this living book growing warmer in my hands is not enough, next I sense the presence and voice of the person both behind and yet within the book, the one the book is about. I become shockingly aware that it is Christ Jesus himself uttering living words, addressing me with an intimacy of enormous power. I am in direct connection with Jesus Christ. And by the way, I don't remember the words that were uttered. That wasn't the point. Of this, I have absolutely no doubt. Yet all is not well with the one addressing me. He seems to be struggling, even suffering. He is human, yet more than human, unstoppably determined, yet somehow stymied, as if trapped in the book, especially in the letters of Paul. Paul's letters light up like an old-fashioned switchboard with incoming calls. Christ is urgently crying out to me for something, haunting me, ghost-like, in earnest. The question is, toward what end? What does Jesus want of me? I feel as if Christ is urging me to, quote, free me from the confines of this book. Free me from the confines of this book. I'm trapped in here. Free me. That's the sense of it, my friends. Wow. Though I am not able to make out any of his words, the waves of Christ's pleading continue until I finally can take it no longer and wake up. Each time I wake up, I find myself in the same conditions. I am lying on my back, groaning in a voice deeper than my customary tenor voice, with tears streaming down my cheeks, and my heart heavy and burdened with some yet unnamed state of things. Each time, my wife also wakes up and attempts to comfort me. I don't know why I'm crying, but I am bearing this unshakable sadness I cannot understand. Again, things are not right. Not the way Christ wants them to be. You with me at this point? Things are not well in the church, as I will explain later with another visitation, another experience of Christ I'll get to later on, in which Christ showed me the current conditions of the church, and they're not good. In fact, they're dreadful, as I will explain. Spiritually speaking, the church is either dormant or dead, which doesn't, of course, mean that God cannot and hopefully will not resurrect the spirituality of the church, its union with Christ, the church being in Christ, since right now the church, generally speaking, is not in Christ. Okay, back to my book. The final installment of this dream ends differently. This time, you know, it's the same thing. I go through, I'm reading the book becomes alive, then I begin to hear, sense the voice of Christ crying out to me from the New Testament, especially the letters of Paul, haunting me, wanting something desperately of me, from me. Okay, this time I open my eyes in what is actually in the bedroom, signifying that I'm both awake and asleep. Have you ever been both awake and asleep? You wake up and yet your body's still asleep? So you can't move, but you're awake, but yet your body's not quite caught up. All right, this time, Jesus is not just in the book crying out to me, but actually in the bedroom. He is standing behind the long white curtain to the right of the bed. That was actually there in Evanston, that white curtain. His right hand is pointing toward the open bedroom door, and he is saying again and again, "Go forth, go forth." I don't know how many times, by the way, he said that in this dream, but he just kept repeating, "Go forth." Jesus' left hand is very near me, resting on the bed. As I'm lying on my right side, I stare at his beautiful, holy, gentle, soft hand, and I desperately want to grasp it, to be in physical connection with this person I love. Can you imagine that? I'll never forget how beautiful, almost glowing, was his gentle, loving left hand. I wanted to hold it. I wanted to have my hand holding the hand of Jesus Christ. But the problem is, my body's still asleep. Thus, it's uncooperative. Staring at Christ's hand, hearing his voiceless, the voiceless echo, his command going, saying again and again, "Go forth," I finally summon the strength to reach out to that hand so close to me, with my eyes on it continuously. However, the moment I move in real life, which is the moment I'm fully awake, Christ vanishes. I wake up in the act of reaching, but the Lord of my life and your life is gone. Isn't that wild? What is it about? Why am I commanded to go forth? Now, let me have a little digression here and tell you the meaning of the word apostle, you know, the 12 original apostles. It comes from the Greek apostello. Apo from, stello, stand or stand from. It means to be sent by the Lord. The apostle in the New Testament, of which Paul calls himself the last apostle, because he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. Okay, apostle means two things. One who has seen the Lord, and secondly, been sent by the Lord out to proclaim, right, the good news. Are you with me? Christ, whom I'm seeing and having this direct encounter six times while in seminary, is sending me forth, go forth, without a clarity of the message, which will take years yet to come into full understanding, which I believe I now have. Wild, huh? Okay, God, what is this about? Why am I back to the book to finish this chapter? Why am I commanded to go forth? God again shows, but does not say what this means. Due to God's timing and my stubbornness, I am stubborn. It will take 30 years for me to finally get what Christ is seeking to say. In brief, and as we shall see, Christ was seeking to be fully alive not only in the Bible, but also in the human heart. I was sensing but not grasping Christ living in me and being with me in this magnificent ark of Christ's heart in my heart and my heart in Christ's heart. I was just not ready for that awakening realization. Wow. I'm just amazed and how profound the story is. And I just happen to be in it. I mean, it's really not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and what he seeks from us and what our story is all about and where we're all headed and what being Christian actually means. It means more than just being a Christ witness. It means being a Christ bearer, where Christ is transforming us by our participation in Christ. This is a magnificent story, and I'm telling you what God has done in my life, and I'm witnessing to what Christ is seeking for me to witness, that he's not only in the book, but in our hearts. Now, if you would like to listen to this show today, I will shortly have on my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Please check out my website, and I will continue next week with yet a few more encounters with the living Lord, who is more real than we can imagine. It's an exciting story. Please listen in and have a blessed week. God bless you.